Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR First Half 2017 Results Conference Call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman of CIR. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I would like to go through the first half numbers that the board of directors of CIR just approved this morning, starting in page four, where, as you can see, our consolidated net income was 27.1 million, up from 25.9 million in the first half of last year. The contribution from the operating businesses increased from 17.7 to 21.4 this year, mainly driven by the increase at Sogefi. The consolidated net financial position was negative 163 million, which compares to a negative 143 at the end of December. If you compare it to the same number at the end of June last year, because of the seasonality that some businesses have, there is a significant cash generation from the operating businesses. There's a net financial surplus at CIR of 320 million, which is a slight decrease from 334 million. As we will see later, this is mainly due to share buybacks and dividends, which were carried on during the first part of the year on the back of a positive pre-dividend and buyback evolution of the net financial position. The consolidated subsidiaries are pretty stable compared to the December number, but significantly better than the June 2016 number. On page five, you have the P&L on a consolidated basis with a slight increase in revenues, about 5%, a substantial increase in EBITDA, 18%, and an even greater increase at the EBIT level. The financial results includes not only net interest expense, but also the result of extraordinary transactions, and we had a couple of positive items related to divestiture of non-core assets in H1 2016, which we didn't have this year. Obviously, we have a higher tax charge given the higher EBIT number, and this brings the net number to 27.1. On the following page, you have a breakdown of the contribution from the operating businesses, where, as you can see, GEDI has a decrease. The decrease of GEDI is related to mainly two things. One is the fact that, as you know, the company has divested some local papers ahead of the combination of Itedi during the course of 2016. Obviously, we don't have the positive contribution from those assets that were there last year. The second thing is that at the end of 2016, the company has introduced a new way of accounting for the investment in Persidera, where basically we amortize the intangible on a straight line basis, which is equivalent to about 3 million euro. This makes the two numbers not fully comparables. As you can see, Sogefi has had a significant increase in contribution, and we'll see later the Sogefi results and cost has continued its regular growth. At the holding company level, we have a positive contribution of 5.7 million, which is down from 8.2 million in the last year, we had the divestiture of a Chinese direct investment that resulted in a 6 million capital gain, which we don't have this year. On page seven, you have a breakdown of our consolidated balance sheet. Frankly, there are no major changes compared to the end of December. Probably the only comment I would make is regarding GEDI, where, as you can see, our pro rata share of net equity goes down, and it goes down because of the Tedi transaction, which took place at the end of June. And so from a balance sheet standpoint, it is included in the June numbers of GEDI. And given the fact that we issued shares to buy the Tedi assets, and we paid for those assets in shares, those shares were issued at fair market value, which is fairly similar to the current stock price of Espresso, because the Tedi assets were valued using the same methodology. And this resulted in issuing shares at a discount to the book value of GEDI. And therefore, the dilution for the existing shareholders, is less of net assets after the transaction as opposed to before, because we have issued shares at a discount to their book value. The rest, I don't think, does really warrant any particular comment. On page eight, you have the breakdown of the net financial position at the consolidated level, where, as you can see, the CIR holding company is +320. Total subsidiaries are -483. And so the consolidated number is -163. And shareholders' equity increases because of the mainly this includes minority interest, third-party interest. And this increases mainly because of the Tedi transaction, because we have increased the share capital of GEDI. On page nine, you have the bridge in terms of the holding company net financial position from the end of 2016, 334, to the end of June. As you can see, we paid 25 million in dividends. We received 7.7 million in dividends from our subsidiaries. This is mainly the cost dividend. We spent close to 10 million euro in share buybacks. We divested assets for close to 11 million. And with a few minor adjustments for financial income and holding cost, the end period number is 320. So if you take out the 25 million of dividends paid and the 10 million of buybacks, you have a significant increase in the net financial position. On page 10, you have the breakdown of the liquid assets. As you can see, there hasn't been any major change, but the bulk of it is invested in fairly safe fixed income instruments. We have our hedge fund portfolio, which performed decently in the first six months of the year with an annualized return of about 5%. So pretty steady performance, and the rest is really cash and some corporate bonds. On page 11, you have a few highlights for our operating businesses, and I propose that we skip directly to the next page, where I go through business by business the main numbers. We've presented here on the left side some pro forma numbers for 2016 for GEDI. As you know, the transaction took place in the last days of June, so it has been consolidated. The GEDI business has been consolidated in terms of balance sheet at the end of June, but not in terms of P&L. So P&L consolidation will start from July the 1st, and so you will see the contribution of the JD business in the second part of the year. But just to give you an idea of what the combined group would have been last year, we put here a pro forma P&L where we have about $700 million in revenues, $55 million in EBITDA, and about $12 million in net income. On the right-hand side, you have the numbers that were approved Wednesday of the first 6 months of JD, which again do not include the Itedi business. And as you can see, revenues are slightly up on the pro forma numbers for last year. The pro forma numbers are to take into account the divestiture of the local papers that I mentioned earlier that took place during the second half of 16, and so to make them comparable to the same perimeter in 17, we have added this second column of pro forma 16, first half 16. And so net income goes from 10 million pro forma to 7.4. The difference is really mainly accounted for by the different goodwill amortization for Presidera. As you can see, at the EBITDA level, the numbers are pretty flat. And at the net level, the difference is those 3 million roughly of Presidera goodwill amortization. I would say that nothing major to report, pretty weak environment, both in terms of circulation. Circulation revenues decreased by 5.7%, a bit better than the market, but still negative. And total advertising increased by 8.2%, but this is really driven by third-party advertising, particularly the national contract for La Stampa, which we started to sell as Manzoni from January 1st this year. This inflates revenues, but it also inflates costs. And if you take our own title, the advertising revenues are lower this year than they were last year. EBITDA is stable. And what we said on Wednesday is that we do not see for the rest of the year any significant change in this pretty soft environment, both in terms of circulation revenues as well as advertising revenues. We confirm the opportunity to realize some significant synergies, cost synergies, with the integration of Itedi, and some of that will be evident in the second part of this year and the rest in the next couple of years. On page 13, we just remind the completion of the integration. Our board was expanded with three additional board members, two of them representing the Itedi shareholders and one independent board members. And we stress here the 15 million in expected synergies that we are committed to realize in the next couple of years. So JFE, you have the breakdown of our customers. This is based on the 16 numbers. So as you can see, there are about five customers that range from 10 to 12.5%. No single customer is, particularly relevant. So there's a good OEM diversification in our customer base. As you can see, we generate about 60% of our business in Europe, about 20% in North America, and another 20% between South America and Asia, with significantly growing trend in both Asia and North America, with a somewhat, slightly better situation in Latin America because of the revaluation of the currency, but still a very difficult situation both in Brazil and in Argentina, which, are contributed negatively to our P&L, both on an operating basis as well as we had to impair partially the book value of our Brazilian subsidiary in the first half, and this has had a negative effect on our P&L. And the situation in Latin America is still very challenging. I would say that this is really the only exception, because with that exception, the rest of the group, in terms of geography, performs fairly well, with a better performance in Europe, with a very strong growth and profitability in both North America and Asia. I would point out two things here. One is the significant increase in free cash flow. You might recall that in the past we were not satisfied about the free cash flow generation characteristics of this business. This is what led us to a change in management 2 years ago. And since then, we are pretty satisfied about both margin increase, a couple of points at the EBIT level, as well as free cash flow generation, about 20 million in 6 months. And if you take the rolling 12 months, we are at more than 40 million of free cash flow generation. So a significantly better performance compared to the past. And this, I think, is due to a lot of discipline on the fixed cost side, and the fact that we were able to increase revenues quite substantially. And so there is a significant operating leverage here. If you can keep your fixed cost fixed, and if you can increase your revenues and keep in line your contribution margin, clearly there is an operating leverage effect, which is quite powerful. So we're satisfied about the first half performance. We see a bit of a softer market in the second half, not a downturn, not a decline, but less robust growth compared to what we have seen in Q1. Q2 was a bit weaker than Q1, and we expect the second half of the year with kind of mid-single digit revenue growth for Sogefi. Finally, costs. Steady performance, about 5% increase in revenues, with about 6% increase in EBITDA and a bit higher percentage in net income. The business performs according to plan. We just recently completed a small acquisition in the diagnostic and cancer care division. Company operates 78 facilities today with about 7,500 beds, mainly located from the chart that you have on page 15, as you can see, on the central to northern part of the country. We continue to see a pretty solid structural long-term growth for this business. We continue to see the opportunity to be a consolidator in this space. We think we have a high-quality platform with a very good and stable management team, which has proven over the years to be able to both grow organically the business as well as effectively integrating small acquisitions that every year we're able to find. We'd like to find somewhat larger targets. There are not a lot of them. We continue to work on finding those. And this is certainly a sector where both CHEER, as the 60% shareholder, but also our minority partner, F2I, we're quite keen to deploy more resources if we can find the right opportunities to grow this business. Page 16 on the non-core assets. We continue to reduce the size of our private equity portfolio, mainly because of return of capital from the funds we're invested in. This has contributed fairly positively to our P&L in the first half of the year, about $6 million in capital gain on those return on capital. We are also continuing to run down our exposure to NPLs. Our portfolio is down to a bit less than $36 million at the end of June. As you know, we have not been adding to this portfolio in a number of years, and we're really cashing in on this portfolio. And for other investments, they were stable at close to $19 million, and there is not much to report. So I would be done with the presentation. I will now open it up to your questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Daniele Ridolfi with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody, and thanks for taking my question. A few questions, if I may. The first is on the cash at holding level. I was wondering if you can share with us what would be your future strategy in terms of use of cash now that the buyback is almost at 17% of the capital. I was wondering if you are considering acquisition in a new sector, or you remain focused on the current portfolio of activities, and if you have identified some targets for potential acquisition, and in case what could be your target in terms of geography. Then I have a question on Sogefi. I was wondering if you consider the Aircool division as the business area more at risk, considering the potential future threat coming from the electric car. And more in general, what are the implications of the electric car for Sogefi in your view? And last question on GEDI. I was wondering if you can provide us an update on the tax claim with the Italian tax office, and in particular, when do you expect the final outcome, and if there is any say similar or recent judicial orientation that could be taken as a benchmark in your favor. Thanks.
Okay, I'll start answering, and I'll ask Michele to jump in and complement if he has any other points. My answer. So, use of cash. We have been deliberately focused on the existing portfolio. We have said that we have a preference to deploy capital on the existing portfolio. We have done that partially last year with costs, where we have increased our investment in the company following the exit of Ardian. We thought we had a good opportunity to add to an asset at a valuation which we considered reasonable, not necessarily cheap, but reasonable given the prospects of the business, and we're happy that we did that. And as I said earlier, we would be glad both for costs and for Sogefi to find external growth opportunities to take advantage of, and in that case we would like to be in a position as an owner to do our part and to support our businesses. So I would say that is the game plan. As every investment company, we have to be reasonably opportunistic, so we don't rule out to also pursue other investment opportunities outside of our operating businesses, but I would say that is the preference, and we have not been particularly actively searching for opportunities outside of our portfolio businesses. On Sogefi, your question about the threat from EV. This is certainly an issue that we, you know, we are very focused on, because you know, we all know what's going on in the car market in terms of how the technology, you know, might disrupt this sector. We have to take a long-term view, but then we have to be realistic also about, you know, the next few years' prospects. And while, you know, it is very difficult to guess the impact of EVs market share in the long term, and I've seen studies and numbers, you know, pretty much going everywhere. And any guess is a good guess. Frankly, I don't think today that anybody has enough of the elements to be able to make an intelligent, you know, educated guess. What you know, I'm personally convinced is that you know, it will take a lot of time. I think that you know, we have seen very bullish EV projections in the last 15 years. This is not a new phenomena. It's certainly one that has received much more attention in the last 12 to 18 months, but this is not a new technology. And for the time being, you know, every projection that has been made in the last 10 years about EV penetration has proven, you know, very, very wrong by default. And so I think one has to be, you know, reasonably prudent in you know, anticipating that very rapidly this will change substantially the mix, because I think that there are a lot of obstacles in terms of, you know, prices, technology, you know, range, infrastructure, that are still, you know, main obstacle for a mass market development of EV. That being said, there is no doubt that, you know, both our filter business and our, you know, air intake businesses would be negatively affected by a rapid migration to EV. And so we are very, you know, keen to understand and to plan our investments in that part of the business, taking into account what the, you know, the future evolution of the technology will be. What I can tell you on a you know, more shorter term basis is that, you know, we don't see for the next few years, based on you know, the plans that we discussed with our customers and based on their plans and their investments, we do not see, you know, any sign of you know, meaningful reduction of investments in the internal combustion engine platform. So, you know, you have, obviously everybody saw the Volvo announcement. Volvo is a very small player on a global scale from a volume standpoint. But if you look at, you know, every car maker, they're still making significant investment in making their internal combustion engines more efficient from a fuel consumption standpoint and from an emission standpoint. And so, you know, I think it's going to be, I mean, the effect on a company like ours, you know, might be over a very long period of time. And, you know, I don't think we're going to see that in the next few years. But again, that being said, those trends might, you know, go through inflection points and accelerate. And so we have to be very, very awake and very aware that, you know, technological changes can happen fast, and make sure that, you know, we are positioned accordingly. On JD, I don't have any news about the timing of the tax claim decision. I remind you that this is a Corte di Cassazione, the highest court decision for a judgment that was taken, I think, 4 or 5 years ago now. What we understand is that in terms of vintage, the court is close to analyzing cases of the same vintage as ours. So, you know, if I had to guess, I would say probably next year. but it's a pure guess. And honestly, you know, we don't have any specific indication about timing, nor about outcome. You know, you asked whether there has been any recent decisions on other cases that could be an indication, and you know, the answer is no.
Okay, many thanks.
Mr. De Benedetti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Then thank you very much, everybody, for attending this conference call.